Hello, everyone. Welcome to Uncapped, hosted by myself, Casey Capp. This is going to be your go-to podcast for all things cinema, some movie, pop culture, and anything in between. So let's get into our very first episode back of Uncapped. Now, I feel like it's only right to discuss Hollywood's biggest night, which were the 97th Oscars this Sunday, March 2nd. And honestly, I thought it was a great night. I thought a lot of people online weren't very happy with the outcome, but they can kick rocks if they weren't a fan of Anora, but we'll get into that in a minute. So they were hosted by Conan O'Brien, which honestly I thought was a great choice. I think Conan's pretty funny. It was very refreshing to not have Jimmy Kimmel for a change because in my personal amateur opinion, I just think that Jimmy Kimmel is not funny at all. So it was very nice to not have him get up there, do another unfunny 10-minute monologue for what would have been like the third or fourth year in a row. So thank you, Conan. Thank you, the Academy, for putting Conan in there. It was very nice and refreshing. Anora swept the competition this year. They were nominated for 6 Oscars. They took home 5 of those awards, just to name some of them: Best Picture, Best Actress in a Leading Role, and Best Director. It was a very, very good night for Anora. But before we really talk about Anora, Mikey Madison, Sean Baker, we gotta take a look at our actor and actress in a supporting role. So first we have Kieran Culkin, who took home the Oscar for Best Actor in a Supporting Role. I think that everyone thought he was going to take home this prize from the get-go just based on how the award season was going. And honestly, he did deserve it. A Real Pain was very great. Jesse Eisenberg wrote and directed that. Kieran Culkin put on a great performance. So just based off of how the Golden Globes and the rest of the awards were going this season, everyone knew he was going to take home that prize. It would have definitely been nice to see maybe Edward Norton get that win, just for a complete unknown, and who doesn't love Edward Norton's work, but his time will come. It was Kieran Culkin's time. He had a nice short speech, so you can't not root for the guy. He seems like a nice guy. Now with actress, another person that everyone kind of knew had this prize locked in the bag based off of how the award season was going. Personally, I am a certified Emilia Perez hater, so a win for Emilia Perez is a loss for me. I don't even want to like get into why I don't like that movie. I think that should be its own separate episode because I can go on. But you know what? Zoe Saldana did the best with what she was given. She's a great actress. I mean, she is involved in the 2 biggest grossing movies of all time, Avatar and Avengers Endgame. She's a reputable actress. I just don't think that Emilia Perez was definitely an Oscar-worthy movie, even though they were nominated for the most of the night. But Zoe Saldana took home the win. I think that was disappointing to some Wicked fans out there wanting to see Ariana Grande take home the Oscar for her portrayal as Glinda in Wicked. Honestly, Wicked was a great movie, great live action Broadway performance with 2 awesome singers and actresses. It was great. But anyway, Zoe Saldana got up there. She took home the award. She cried a little bit, but you know, it was her first nomination and first win, and she had that locked in the bag from the get-go. So it really wasn't a surprise there at all. Now moving on to Adrian Brody. He took home the Oscar for Best Actor in a Leading Role. This is his 2nd Oscar, his first being The Pianist, which came out 2 decades ago. So you know what? That just goes to show how strong of an actor Adrian Brody is, if you didn't already know that. For him to have had 2 Oscar wins as actor in a leading role spanning over 2 decades. For those that haven't seen his portrayal in The Brutalist, that film is great. It explores the life of an architect during post-World War II in America. It was 3.5 hours, which I know deters people from wanting to watch that movie, but it honestly did not feel like 3.5 hours. It was a very good movie, a nice watch for anyone that appreciates good cinematography, storyline, acting. I definitely do think that The Brutalist, not that it fell apart in the second half, but the first hour and a half watching was more enjoyable than the ending. So still a great movie regardless, but you know, I think he did a great job. Another person that was definitely locked in the bag with getting that win. I know that myself maybe was rooting for Timothée Chalamet just because he is our generation's probably biggest actor. He's just involved in so many great things, and he is, in fact, a very talented actor. I definitely don't think A Complete Unknown was his Oscar-worthy performance, but his time will absolutely come. I fear that his time is kind of going to be like Leonardo DiCaprio in the sense that he'll be nominated for years and years on end, and it'll take him decades to win. But mark my words, Timothée Chalamet will win an Oscar at one point in his career. Nonetheless, Adrien Brody took home the prize, even though maybe it could have gone to Timothée Chalamet since he got the SAG Award. Didn't know it was gonna happen, but he had that locked in the bag. His speech was, we'll get into that, but it was just absolutely way too long. Definitely got some secondhand embarrassment when he was telling the music to stop playing, but you know what? He has two Oscars and I have none, so he probably knows better. Best director of this year, someone that I really think his directing style is very admirable. I really like his work. Sean Baker, while also known for his best picture win this year, Anora, he's also known for his 2017 film, The Florida Project. I know I personally love that movie, five stars. One of my friends was asking me to watch that movie for years on end, and I don't know why I refused, but I can say here live that that was a mistake not watching that the second it came out. That was a fantastic movie. I can go on and on about that movie, so it deserves a true episode of its own though. But Sean Baker is a very unique director in the sense that he just loves to combine a deep sense of realism within these marginalized characters, like people that you would really overlook in your everyday life. His scripts just create this very real dialogue, like you feel like you're eavesdropping in on a conversation taking place in real time, as if like the audience is overhearing this. His dialogue is just one of the ways that I think Anora really stood out this season. And that can also be found in his other works, like I said, The Florida Project and Tangerine from 2015. Oh God, he just really creates this authentic atmosphere in his films. I really, really love his style of directing. Moving on from the director to the film, Anora, for those that have seen or haven't seen, just a rough outline of the film. Essentially, Anora is a movie about a New York City sex worker who marries a wealthy Russian oligarch's son. Now, a lot of people were very disappointed with this win, like on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, just saying that they were disappointed that a movie all about sex took home the prize for Best Picture, and it was very, very trashy to have something like that represent this Academy Awards 97th Oscars. And you know what? To anyone who thinks that or says that, did not watch the movie. It is not about sex. It goes so much deeper than that. It really just explores the themes of power imbalance, the consequences of rash decisions, fair untreatment, while also exploring themes of love and just life in general. It got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and my personal Letterboxd rating, if anyone cares, is 4.5 stars. This truly was a great movie. So I was very infuriated seeing online that people are tearing it up, saying it's about sex. And again, if you think this movie was just about sex, you either didn't watch the movie or you did not digest the movie the way it was left to be digested by Sean Baker, truly. His movies like to have that kind of open-ended, open to interpretation. So this film definitely kind of leaves you wondering at the end, but I think that's also great that really the audience can kind of go with the storyline and kind of put into their own assumptions with what the ending truly is, but just another reason why this movie was great, and Sean Baker's directing style is one of my favorites. Also, just a little fun fact, a little movie trivia here. Anora was one of the four movies in history to win Best Picture at the Oscars and the, I might butcher this, the Palme d'Or at Cannes Film Festival. Just another little fun fact for some movie trivia in regards to Cannes Film Festival. Bong Joon-ho's 2019 thriller Parasite also took home the award for Best Picture and the Palme d'Or at Cannes Film Festival. So again, that is one in four movies in history to have the honor of taking home both of those big awards home. And Anora just made history as being the fourth movie ever to have that honor. So now moving on to the leading lady of Anora, let's talk about Mikey Madison's performance. I was very, very excited that she got this win. Personally, I loved Nora, so I wanted them to win as many awards as possible. And honestly, Mikey Madison truly deserved this honor. I didn't really follow her work that much before. I know she had an appearance in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and she also was Ghostface in the sequels of the Scream series, spoiler alert. So I didn't really know that much about her before going into Anora, but she truly, really deserved this award. That doesn't make sense how I just worded it, but that just goes to show that she deserved this, and any of the haters can go kick rocks. Mikey Madison, she really immersed herself into trying to embody her character of Anora, or Annie, as she liked to be called in the movie. She learned Russian for the role, twerking, pole dancing, stripping, she all learned that for the role. I feel like this is obviously her most reputable performance to date. I mean, yes, she did just win an Oscar and was nominated for an Oscar, but again, before that, didn't really know that much about her other works. She is insanely talented, though, so I definitely do think she deserved this. I know that's a little controversial because some people would have liked to seen Demi Moore or Fernanda, who starred in I'm Still Here, the Brazilian masterpiece of this year's Oscars, also took home the prize for Best Foreign Film. But anyway, Mikey Madison truly deserved this award. I think it's very inspiring that she's 25 years old and she was able to take home this big, big honor. So she's got a bright career ahead of her. I really hope that it doesn't turn into like a one-hit wonder in the sense of this is her biggest role and it's not gonna be movies kind of living up to this standard. But you know what? I guess that's what happens sometimes. Can't get my hopes too high. Mikey Madison, congratulations. And now, let's take a look at this year's snubs of the Oscars. Snubbing is something you gotta talk about in any award season. Don't even get me started on the Grammys. So instead, we're just gonna look at this year's Oscar snubs. Now, A Complete Unknown unfortunately had the worst performance at this year's Oscars, not taking home any of the Oscars in any of the categories it was nominated for, including Best Actor in a Leading Role. Sorry, Timmy. But again, you know what? Timmy's time will come. It really will. Now, another snub was Nosferatu. It was snubbed in terms of like set design and costume design, even though The Substance definitely deserved the Oscar for best makeup and hairstyling. But nonetheless, Nosferatu was definitely snubbed in the two categories that Wicked actually took home. Wicked took home the award for best costume design and best production design, and they were technically snubbed as they were nominated for 10 categories and only took home those two Oscars. While I did love Wicked, I definitely feel that Nosferatu better embodied the typical winner of those categories. So that's unfortunate in that sense, but congrats to those for Wicked. Now, probably the biggest snub of the night, I was definitely surprised. Demi Moore was projected to win Best Actress in a Leading Role for her portrayal in The Substance. And you know what? While I am very happy that Mikey Madison won, I was a little surprised as I really did think Demi Moore was gonna win just based off of her previous wins for this last award season. She seemed like the top runner who was gonna be the best actress in the leading role. And it is unfortunate that she didn't win in the sense of she's had a very long career and she's just getting her flowers for this performance last year in The Substance. So her time as an Oscar nominee will probably not come again. I mean, I hope it does just for her, but she achieved a lot this past year with her accolades in regards to The Substance. So congratulations to her, but I definitely was surprised that she did not win just based off of how it seemed like it was gonna go. But nonetheless, Mikey Madison is more than deserving, very happy with that win. Now, not that I believe that it's a snub since like I said, I'm a certified Amelia Perez hater, but the film was also nominated for the most Oscars and only took home two of those awards, which was Zoe Saldana's win for Best Actress in a Supporting Role and Best Song for El Mal. So you know what? Even though they did win some, the fact that they were nominated for the most Oscars and only took home two awards really is a win for all of us Amelia Perez haters. Something to kind of like wrap up my little Oscar segment, I feel like it's only fitting that we discuss some what the F moments from the Oscars. You know, there's always something from every show that kind of stands out that'll be not even just a meme, just something that you kind of remember from the show. For example, the most iconic moment I feel in the most recent years was Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. Some of us will really never forget watching that in live time. But anyway, moving on to the 2025 What the F Oscar moments. Doja Cat had a performance. It was not good. It was during the 007 tribute along with Lisa and Ray. And I just really like want to know what happened in that room or who was in charge of getting Doja Cat to sing, because I'm sorry, we have had like Adele sing James Bond songs. We've had Sam Smith. We have had people with incredible, oh, and Billie Eilish too. She sang No Time to Die in the most recent 007 movie. So legitimately, what the fuck was Doja Cat doing and who decided that she was a good pick? I mean, I definitely like some of Doja Cat's songs, but there is no way in hell that I think she embodied what should have been the person for a 007 tribute with songs like that. Someone should have cut the mic. I think whoever was like, let's get Doja Cat in the room should definitely get a pay doc, but that's just me. No hate to Doja Cat. I mean, she is an accredited musician and has more awards than I do. So Doja Cat 1, Casey Cap, host of Unpod 0. But again, if anyone has watched that performance, it was a memorable one in the sense of I don't think that I've seen a live performance that bad in a long time. I think it can rank among like Fergie's national anthem. Like everyone knows what I'm talking about. And I would say Doja Cat's a close second to just atrocious live performance. So congrats to Lisa and Ray for not shitting the bed as Doja Cat did. But I went on Twitter right after. The memes were fantastic. I don't think that she'll be invited back to sing again, obviously. But whoever chose her, I don't know what was going on. Another What the F moment was Adrian Brody's long speech. I kept seeing on the internet that a lot of people thought that it was not like cringy, but yeah, some people just got some secondhand embarrassment, I guess myself included, because when the music starts rolling and he's telling people, this isn't my first time up here, cut the music. I mean, I'm sure he's overwhelmed with a lot of emotions. He just won his second Oscar and he absolutely deserved it. But his speech definitely could have been condensed down to a minute, 45 seconds. So I was able to get a snack during that time. So you know what? Thank you to his long speech, because I had enough time to get a snack, come back, and his speech was still going on. So you know what? Kudos to Adrian Brody for that. Another What the F moment was the songwriters for Emilia Perez's El Mall. Very awkward acceptance speech, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. They kind of tried to get the audience to sing a little bit at the end, and I think the audience, the viewers, myself included, were very confused, raising some eyebrows, as it was just, they went home with Oscars, but they might also have left with some embarrassment. But you know what? I feel like I would prefer an Oscar and some embarrassment if that was the trade-off. I guess we're just kind of getting to the end a little bit. I want to give out some uncapped Oscars. So for my favorite part of the Oscars, the award goes to the Dune Worm with his little bow tie. That was truly phenomenal. I love that we did the bit twice. And as Conan O'Brien says, when you spend that much on a bit, you got to do it twice. And I laughed both times. I thought it was very funny. We'll get to Dune definitely throughout this podcast in a different episode. But it was a nice little, gimmick that they had going on up there. Now I would say Best Dressed Actor, I would have to give the Oscar to Timothée Chalamet. At first, the yellow wasn't sitting with me at first, but I think that he was kind of embodying and maybe manifesting that gold to try and get that award. Probably not what he was going for, but you know what? I think that's a fun little interpretation if he had that in mind. And I think he killed it. Now, on the other side of things, for Best Dress Actress, I would tell Elle Fanning looked very elegant. She was not nominated for an Oscar this year, but she was one of the stars of A Complete Unknown alongside Timothée Chalamet. I think she embodied the true elegance and glamour of the Academy Awards. So you know what? Round of applause for Elle Fanning. And you know what? That kind of wraps up this first mini episode. We're just getting started again. I think that this was a good little intro to really get the pod going. I really do want to take some deep dives into like major releases, controversial movie opinions, uncover hidden gems, basically anything cinema. We're going to talk about it and we're going to have fun. Gonna bring on some friends, and you know what? I'm probably only gonna be talking to tens of people in the beginning, but I'm gonna stick with it. Really love talking about cinema, one of my passions, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So for those listening, my friends, thanks for bearing with me for the first mini episode. Hope you stay along during the way. And you know what? It will progress, and Uncapped is going to be your go-to podcast for all things cinema, movie, pop culture, and anything in between. One final thing before we leave off, just as Sean Baker said in his award speech, going to the movies is an experience, and we should not let that die just because streaming is more convenient. Don't get me wrong, I love to lay in bed and stream a movie, but there is nothing going like to a movie theater and just having that whole experience. Experiencing all the emotions with the audience is something that you just really don't get back, and some of my fondest moments with movies are seeing it live in the theater. So you know what, everyone? Go see a movie and go have that movie theater experience. That's the final thing I want to leave off with. So if you made it to the end, thank you for listening to the first episode of Uncapped. We're going to be back next episode. We're going to talk about Bong Joon-ho's big release, Mickey 17. So stay tuned.